Penguin Random House Audio presents Beyond Summer by Lisa Wingate. Read for you by Christelle Walsh, Kyla Garcia, and Sophia Willingham. Chapter 1. Tam Lambert. It's strange what you look past in a normal day. The big picture you don't see, while you're busy focusing on all the little things that seem to matter in the moment. Good hair, an outfit that looks just right, a green light ahead when you're in a hurry to make an appointment, a short line at Starbucks, a straight shot down the fairway in a game of golf, a smile from a cute guy in the parking lot. You rub your life like Aladdin's lamp, and magic floats out in little clouds. It works time after time after time. You never stop to consider that there could be a day when a charmed life isn't charmed anymore. At that point, the wishes become prayers, and you hope against hope that God will take up where the wishing lamp left off. The summer I turned 18 became the summer of unanswered prayers. I was hoping that, since the lease was up on the hand-me-down Mini Cooper I'd been driving, there was a new car in the works for my birthday. A combination getting ready for college and welcome to adulthood present. And maybe a surprise party. Something Hawaiian-themed, out on the patio, with floating tiki torches in the pool, grass skirts and coconut bras, and a caterer filling the cabana with fruit baskets carved out of watermelons. Perfect for early July. Instead, I got a phone call letting me know that my stepmother had rammed her Escalade into the front doors of the Baby Bundles upscale resale shop while delivering a load of gently worn or still had tags on them kitty clothes. The accident wasn't her fault. It was the stilettos that did it. Such things are to be expected from a 34-year-old woman who takes the kids to playgroup in high heels, studies future plastic surgery options, and shortens her name to Barbie because she looks like a life-size version of the doll. If the nickname fits, then wear designer shoes with it, was generally Barbie's theory. The emergency phone call was from the nanny. She wanted me to know she was off work in 15 minutes, and if someone didn't show up at home before then, she'd be leaving Los Niños with La Tía Loca, the crazy aunt. The crazy aunt, Aunt Lute, was part of my summer of unanswered prayers, which made sense, considering that Aunt Lute claimed not one prayer in her life had ever been answered the way she wanted. She'd pause after she said that and contemplate the deeper meanings, her eyes the violet gray of an iris bloom, drying in the sun. Then she'd punctuate the sentence in one of two ways. Either, the best things in life hide around the blind corners, or, watch out for small favors, Tamra Lee. The first was an invitation, the second a warning. One ended with a wild laugh, the other with tears pooling in the corners of her eyes and fanning into the wrinkles, like twin rivers flowing into estuaries before being lost in the ocean. It was impossible to know which one of those assessments of life she really subscribed to, but then that was Aunt Lute, crazy as a March hare, which was how she ended up living above our garage after being evicted from a house stacked floor to ceiling with stuff that was fit only for the trash. In a family prone to burning the candle at both ends and dying young, Aunt Lute was a record setter at 70, and the only old person I'd ever been around for any amount of time. Not that Aunt Lute was your typical old person. She didn't bake cookies or tell family stories or knit afghans. After having spent her life working a mindless factory job and caring for a now-deceased handicapped brother, she seemed to have traded her real past for several dozen fantasy lives she made up as she went along. My father, 15 years her junior, was her only financially stable relative, and probably the one person with a place big enough to put the crazy aunt at one end and still stand to live in the other. I didn't mind Aunt Lute's being there, really. I did my best not to be home, and aside from that, there was the fact that Aunt Lute's presence irritated my stepmother. Aunt Lute's memory wasn't good, in terms of the recent past, so half the time she didn't have a clue who Barbie was, which drove Barbie nuts. The four blonde-haired in vitro munchkins running around the place were a complete mystery to Aunt Lute as well. It was news to her that my real mother was off in Ecuador with a mission group led by our ex-pastor, and my father had a 34-year-old wife with a ticking-like-a-time-bomb biological clock that had so far resulted in Mark and Daniel, then Landon, and finally baby Jewel, who is just now getting old enough to cast worried looks at La Tia Loca. Tempting as it was to pretend I hadn't gotten the nanny's phone call, so as to continue with the golf lesson I didn't really want to take, I couldn't quite convince myself to do it. Leaving the fearsome foursome home with Aunt Lute amounted to child endangerment in any number of ways. Considering that even the nanny couldn't handle them, the kids or Aunt Lute, there was no telling what might happen in the time it could take for a tow truck to extricate Barbara's SUV from the jaws of baby bundles and then bring her and what remained of the vehicle home. Left to their own devices, the four would tear the house down brick by brick, then throw the bricks at one another while Aunt Lute stood in the backyard in her artist smock, painting pictures of the sky, or wandered the house tipping all the framed art slightly off square, or sat in her room pecking away on her typewriter, composing memoirs of fantastical events that had never happened. My bugging out of the lesson ticked off the golf coach, of course. He was the best money could buy, and not accustomed to such utter disregard. He told me I needed to get my priorities straight. "You want to keep that college scholarship? You've got to put in the time," he said, and then he went on to lecture me about competition and how not everyone was fortunate enough to get a University of Texas golf scholarship, and how my father had most certainly called in every favor he'd ever been owed, and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, my 15 nanny minutes were ticking away like the countdown on a detonator. "It's the flippin' University of Texas," Coach reiterated, and he gave me a narrow-eyed look that more or less indicated I was a slacker. "Talent's not enough. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, Lambert. Considering your father's reputation on the football field, you'd think you'd know that. Your dad wasn't the biggest guy in the NFL or the one with the most natural talent, but he gave it everything he had. That's what made him a great quarterback. You might..." More nanny minutes rushed by while he lectured me about responsibility and the debt I owed my coaches, my father, Highland Park, and the golf club. Now probably wasn't the time to tell him I was still trying to figure out how to confess to the world that the golf scholarship to UT was my father's dream, not mine. Since Barbie's brat pack was too young for collegiate sports, I was, athletically speaking, the family's only hope. At least until the munchkins got older. But what I really wanted to do was take a year off and spend it bumming around the youth hostels of Europe with my best friend, Emity. Em's parents didn't think there was a thing wrong with postponing college in order to discover the world. When Coach came up for air, I told him about Barbie and the fender bender and the stilettos. Coach had seen Barbie chasing one of the four down the fairway at our last tournament, so I guess he got a pretty accurate picture. He laughed so hard he had to yank off his hat and fan himself to keep from passing out. When you're a 55-year-old man who will never be able to afford a 34-year-old wife, it probably feels good to know someone else's sugar baby just wrecked the Escalade. He was still laughing when I grabbed my bag and headed for the parking lot. No doubt the Barbie story was about to become lively conversation at the pro shop. By the time I got home, the nanny was standing in the driveway with her tote bag in one hand and Jewel dangling under her arm like a chubby-cheeked beanie baby. I got the nanny rundown in 10 words or less, in a mixture of 2 languages. The oldest 3 kids were locked in the backyard play area, The baby needed a diaper change.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?